welcome listeners to our history article for the month of August, and we're happy you joined us here today for day three. If you've been journeying with us from day one, you've been learning a lot over these few days, or if you're just tuning in for this day, we hope that you will enjoy what we discuss today about Beatrix Potter. Beatrix Potter is a beloved children's author and illustrator from England. She is well known to many of us here in the studio today. So with that being said, let me introduce the other great panelists I have with me here today.
Hello everyone, this is Gordon. I'm back again here at the end of August, and I'm still a huge fan of Beatrix Potter and still very happy to be talking about her and her books and the wonderful things she did during her life.
Hi everyone, my name's Peter, and yeah, I just really have enjoyed learning about Beatrix Potter's life. I think most children grow up with Beatrix Potter in their life. The tale of Peter Rabbit is well known and well read. And so it's been interesting to learn about how talented this woman was and how independent she was too.
Right, and we've been learning a lot over these last 2 days here about Beatrix Potter. But gentlemen, I just wanted to ask you, what is something that you have learned that you could review with our listeners?
Certainly. I especially enjoyed yesterday. We got to talk about the Lake District, which is part of Britain, a very beautiful part, which is now a national park. It's protected by the government and by law, and Beatrix Potter played a big part in that happening. She moved to the Lake District in 1905, and she bought up a lot of the land with all the money she got from selling her children's books, and she was an avid conservationist. She wanted to keep the farms looking how they are and how they were, and through her buying up to 4,000 acres, we learned yesterday, that has protected that area right up until the current day.
It's a great legacy to leave behind, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic, and I've been to the Lake District a number of times, and if any of our listeners are ever in Britain, it's a beautiful part of the countryside to go to. There are wonderful lakes and wonderful woodland and beautiful hills with sheep roaming around, and there's these beautiful stone walls, and you can see some of that in our pictures at the bottom of page 43 of the magazine. I've just got such fond memories of that part of England.
Gordon, you mentioned woodland. What is the difference between a woodland and a forest?
Well, woodland I think of as less thick, less dense than a forest. There's, it's very typical of British countryside. You have some clusters of trees here and there, and you can go walking through very safe, gentle, plush woodland rather than dense, thick forest, which we do have as well in parts.
Okay, so it's more exposed to the light.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
Okay, great. And Peter, what's something you'd like to share?
Yeah, well, she was ahead of her time when she lived, and her work has withstood the test of time, which is just a very interesting life to have. I think, you know, growing up, it was interesting to learn how her family often went to the countryside, that they would, her and her brother would find different animals and bring them back home. And their parents encouraged this type of curiosity and creativity. They encouraged their love for animals and encouraged her love for nature. So you can see how that influenced her life and made her more independent as she became older. And as she became successful, she could then pursue all her interests and dreams, which turned into conservation.
And I think it's great, too, how, you know, she was unable to do what she really wanted to do. We learn in day one that she was a frustrated botanical illustrator, and that's the career she would have chosen, but that field was not open to her because she was female. Rather, she went into writing children's books. But I think despite that obstacle or that challenge in her life, she managed to go on to do so much for the conservation of the Lake District in that area. So just just shows you that even though you face a challenge like this, you can still overcome it in a different way and still achieve a lot. And she's left a great legacy as a result of it.
Yeah, and that makes me think of a lot of famous people like Einstein, who have failed at the first thing they wanted to do, or you know, with this with Beatrice Potter, her dream job was not available to her. And I think that can come back to all of our lives, that we have these dreams, we have these plans, and some things just don't work out at all. But I'm so glad that her life happened the way it did, because otherwise we might not have Peter Rabbit, which has, you know, made such a mark on our childhood.
That's true. Yes, so don't discount the detours that may happen in your life, listeners. They can be for a very good reason. Here we have Beatrix Potter's children's books as a result, but we also learned that she was able to overcome that challenge and also go on into conservation of the Lake District itself. So we hope that encourages you as well. Well, listeners, we encourage you right now to turn to page 44 in your Advance magazine, or if you have a digital device, to turn to that. And we're going to begin today's reading on column 1.
New Beatrix Potter book, The Tale of Kitty in Boots, announced. Ready for the brand new 100-year-old tale by Peter Rabbit creator Beatrix Potter? It's on its way. 2 years ago, Joe Hanks, publisher at the UK's Penguin Random House Children's, came upon a reference to a mysterious Potter manuscript featuring a well-behaved prime black kitty cat who leads rather a double life. Hanks tracked down 3 handwritten manuscripts, a rough color sketch of our hero, Kitty in Boots, and a pencil sketch of Kitty's nemesis, Mr. Todd. The award-winning illustrator, Quentin Blake, think Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, has signed on to do the illustrations, and The Tale of Kitty in Boots will be published in the U.S., and in Britain in September. The tale really is the best of Beatrix Potter. It has double identities, colorful villains, and a number of favorite characters from other tales, Hanks said. And most excitingly, our treasured, mischievous Peter Rabbit makes an appearance, albeit older, slower, and portlier. Letters in the Victoria and Albert Museum archives show that Potter intended to finish the tale, but life intervened in the shape of World War I, marriage, sheep farming, and colds.
Well, welcome back, listeners, and thanks for that reading. We're here on August. We're looking at August 31st. It's the last day of August, and we're here talking about Beatrix Potter. We've been talking a lot in the past 2 days about her, the first book that she wrote, which was called The Tale of Peter Rabbit, and we see a picture of that at the top of page 42. But we're going to learn a little bit more about a new Beatrix Potter book. We learned that there is a book called The Tale of Kitty in Boots announced. And this roll off the tongue, Kitty in Boots, reminds me of another children's story called Puss in Boots, which is also about a cat that's probably quite well known. I know there was a movie made of that. But here we're talking about one written by Beatrix Potter. So how did this all happen? Well, we go on to see we need to be ready for the brand new 100-year-old tale by Peter Rabbit creator Beatrix Potter. It's on its way. What's happened here, Gordon?
I'm very excited about this because it's some new material which the public hasn't read before. So Beatrix Potter was an author, and during her life she would have worked at many different tales, that she might have had notebooks and tried to write different things down. During her life we know that there were 23 particular tales that were published. as well as some other like painting books and stuff that she published. But she had manuscripts, which are old documents of her ideas and thoughts for other stories. And what's happened in this case is someone who works in the publishing business, who has access to her old manuscripts, has found this story that she wrote over 100 years ago. And they've worked hard, basically, to create it into another story, just like her old ones, and produce it into a book that they're going to publish or release later this year.
Right. So we learn about Joe Hanks, is a publisher at Penguin Random House Children's, which is, like Gordon mentioned, a publishing company. They are around the world. And here, this one is specifically in the UK. Now, she came upon a reference to a mysterious Potter manuscript. Now, what is a manuscript, Peter?
Well, authors write manuscripts and then they're sent to their editors. It's not exactly what you would publish yet. Mm-hmm. It still needs some work.
Right. Okay. And in this manuscript, there was talk or that something was written about a well-behaved prime black kitty cat and who leads rather a double life. What do we mean when we say double life, Gordon?
Well, we often think of someone who has, say, maybe two identities, or at one time they are living one way, and then unbeknown to everyone else, secretly, they're living another life. So a famous example that most of our listeners will know is Superman, who is Superman and Clark Kent. And so he has a double life.
Good. Okay, so here this character also leads a double life. Now we learned that Joe Hanks was able to track down three handwritten manuscripts. Now what does that term mean, to track something down, Peter?
Yeah, that's when you're finding something, you're looking for clues. I always think of hunting, because when an animal walks in the dirt, they leave tracks. And then the person, the hunter, follows those tracks to find the animal. And so we can see where this phrase would come from, track something down. So track the animal down.
Good. So they went and found these three handwritten manuscripts. And we see also a rough color sketch of the hero of this book, Kitty in Boots. Now that's very interesting. It was a pencil sketch of, and also a pencil sketch of Kitty's nemesis, Mr. Todd. What is a nemesis, Gordon?
Well, a nemesis is someone's like sworn enemy, we could say, like the person who you're always trying to compete with and fight against.
Right, and earlier in these last 2 days, day one and day two of this article, we learned that Beatrix Potter is an author and an illustrator. So she has a lot of drawings. She probably sketched a lot of different animals into different characters. And here it's a rough color sketch of Kitty in Boots, which is the name of the book, and Mr. Todd. Well, now, unfortunately, Beatrix Potter has passed away, and so we're only left with these three manuscripts. So if the publishing company is trying to put this book together or make other illustrations of the book, well, what would they do? Well, we learn in this next paragraph what they have done.
Yeah, they need another illustrator. So Beatrix Potter is unique, and it's amazing that she used to write and illustrate her books, but many books nowadays are written by an author and then an artist or an illustrator comes along and illustrates for the book. So the publishing company knows this and goes and tries to find an illustrator who can look at the rough drafts, the little sketches we have from Beatrix, and try to illustrate the story along the same style.
Right. And so they have found an award-winning illustrator. If you're award-winning, Peter, what does that mean?
So that means you're someone that has done so well that you've won awards. So award-winning just is a way of saying this person has claimed and won awards before for their work.
Right. And this person's name is Quentin Blake. And then we see in brackets here, to think about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So in fact, Quentin Blake did illustrate the book Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by Ronald Dahl. Are you familiar with Ronald Dahl's work?
Yes, we also call him Roald Dahl. And another author who has written many children's books that people love in Britain and around the world. And I certainly know the story of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and it's fascinating here to find out that the illustrator of that book has been selected to illustrate this latest Beatrix Potter book.
Right, and so perhaps that's why he's award-winning. He won awards for those books that he did illustrate. And he has signed on to do the illustrations for this book, The Tale of Kitty in Boots. Now, we learn about when it will be published. When will it be published in the U.S. and in Britain?
So this will be published in September.
Wow, and today is August 31st, so that's not far away at all. It's just around the corner. And we see here from Jo Hanks herself, what does she have to say, Gordon?
Well, she says that we should be excited about this latest book because it's really the best of Beatrix Potter, which means that it has all the best parts of Beatrix's writings. So it has double identities, which we've already talked about, colourful villains, so that's the nemesis, Mr. Todd, that we mentioned earlier, a number of favourite characters from other tales, which is exciting because we may know the other tales very well from our childhood. This is a new book, and we get to see some of those characters back again.
Now, here she mentions that the villains are colourful. Are we talking about the illustrations when we say that, Peter?
No, we're just talking about the personality of those villains. It's not going to be boring at all. It'll be interesting and exciting.
Good. Okay, great. And then we learn that the most excitingly, or at least this is what Jo Hanks thinks, is our treasured, mischievous Peter Rabbit makes an appearance in this book. It goes on to say, albeit older, slower, and portlier, Gordon.
Yeah, this is very funny for a native English speaker. These words are very funny, and I'll try and help our listeners understand what this means. So, albeit is a small word there that we use to just say, although. Right. Although in this case, Peter Rabbit, so he's back, but he's going to be older, which we can understand. He's going to be an older rabbit, slower, which is probably a sign of his age, and portlier, which is a lovely word, which means he's basically going to be fatter. He's a larger rabbit now. And a few days ago, Peter mentioned how Peter Rabbit likes to eat food. So we can imagine he's had a long life of eating a lot, maybe stealing from Mr. McGregor's garden and... so now, this is great. I can't wait to have a look at this book and see illustrations done by Quentin Blake of Peter Rabbit as an older rabbit.
Now, portlier is a more positive term, right? When we use that term.
It's more gentle, I would say.
Yeah, if someone called me portly, I'd be like, okay, they haven't called me fat. They've just recognized that I may have a belly.
Right. Okay, we learned that in letters in the Victoria and Albert Museum archives show that Potter intended to finish this tale. And if something is in the archives, it's a record or historical records that are usually placed either in a museum or in a historical place that they're reserved or preserved, should I say. It shows that Potter intended to finish this tale, but what happened, Peter?
Well, life happened, and that took the form of World War I, which pretty much changed everyone's life during this time. And marriage, that will change anyone's life, obviously, but you also have less time to invest in just work. She had her sheep farming and colds. Maybe we can talk a little bit about how she became ill later in life, and I think, those things can set you back too.
Right, and perhaps laid up for a while there.
Yeah, for sure. So what's going on here is that she wrote a lot of books at the beginning of the century, the beginning of the 1900s, and then she moved to the Lake District in 1905, she got married in 1913, and in 1914, World War I happened. So she's already written a load of books, they've been published, and this is just one of the books that never got round to being finished and being published. which was fine. She was doing a lot of stuff, and yeah, I didn't begrudge her not publishing this book because she managed to publish over 23 books anyway.
Right, exactly. Well, we learned earlier just about Quentin Blake being chosen. He's an award-winning illustrator, has done Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But how, in fact, was he chosen? Let's go on to see in our next reading.
How Quentin Blake was chosen. The publisher needed an illustrator, and Blake was the obvious choice. It's a challenging brief to illustrate a manuscript written over 100 years ago by one of the world's most beloved authors, but we knew that Quentin's energy, rebelliousness, and humor were in keeping with Beatrix's own artistic sensibilities, and therefore exactly what this fantastic book called out for, Hanks said. Blake described his reaction. It seemed almost incredible when, early in 2015, I was sent the manuscript of a story by Beatrix Potter, one which had lain unpublished for 100 years and which, with the exception of a single drawing, she had never illustrated. I liked the story immediately. It's full of incident, mischief and character, and I was fascinated to think that I was being asked to draw pictures for it. I have a strange feeling that it might have been waiting for me.
Well, listeners, thanks for joining us as we continue through the day three of this article. We've come to the end of August, and we've been learning about Beatrix Potter's new book, The Tale of Kitty in Boots, and we've learned that Joe Hanks, the publisher at Penguin Random House Children's in the UK, came across Potter's manuscript about a well-behaved prime black kitty cat, who is, in fact, Kitty in Boots. And we've learned about how they needed an illustrator, and because, unfortunately, Beatrix Potter has passed away since this time. Well, when they were looking for an illustrator, Blake was the obvious choice. Now, Gordon, when we say something is the obvious choice, what are we meaning?
Well, we mean that it's an easy choice, that that's the person we should pick. And we've discussed how Quentin Blake has won awards before, so clearly he's the person who's going to do a good job illustrating this book. I still think it's a lot of pressure, and Beatrix Potter's loved, and loved particularly because of her drawings.
Mm.
So he's going to have to live up to her reputation. But I'm confident that he's probably done a good job, and I look forward to seeing this book when it comes out in a few days.
Right, and we hear from Jo Hanks. She says, it's a challenging brief to illustrate a manuscript written over 100 years ago by one of the world's most beloved authors. Peter, what do we mean here that it will be challenging?
Well, of course, the author is no longer living, so they can't discuss what the author would have liked, what she meant by this or that. So he really has to pay attention to how she wrote it and look at past works to really get the feeling right. And I think there's going to be a lot of pressure because she is a legend with the work that she's accomplished. So if Quentin doesn't do a very good job, that's going to be quite the mark on his record. But actually, Quentin is quite the living legend, and his work is well-known and well-loved, too. So I think they'll do a good job.
Right. Gordon, why did they choose Quentin?
Well, they chose him because they thought that his style, his energy and rebelliousness, are the words that we're reading here in our article, and humor, was in keeping, so it was the same as Beatrice's own artistic sensibilities. Which, that's a complicated sentence, but it means that Quentin's style, his penmanship, his tendencies, are the same as, or very similar to, Beatrix's. So he's going to easily be able to, well, hopefully copy her and draw in a way that would reflect Beatrix's own work.
Right, and then she goes on to say that's exactly what this fantastic book called out 4. Well, let's hear also from Blake. He talks about his reaction when he heard that he had been chosen to illustrate for this book, Peter.
Yeah, it was incredible. He received the manuscript early in 2015, and it was amazing to him that, wow, we have a story from Beatrix Potter, and it's unpublished. So that is such a great opportunity, one that will be remembered forever.
Right. And so we learned that this is a great opportunity. He has taken it on, and it will be interesting to see how that results. Well, in the next couple of days, you don't have to wait, because it will be coming out very soon on September 6th, as we see in our sidebar. But that is all the time we have for today, listeners. We hope that you have learned a lot throughout these 3 days with us here about Beatrix Potter. But don't worry, the new book is coming out soon, so you can continue to learn more about Beatrix Potter's legend and hopefully, like us, just have an endearing and love for what Beatrix has done. This is Amanda.
And this is Gordon.
And Peter.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.